Everyone who heard him was amazed at him, at how much he understood, and they were amazed at his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were amazed. This summer, we are going to be journeying through the Gospels, and the sermons will follow the theme, Surprised by Jesus. And we'll be looking at passages where Jesus surprises us, or amazes us, even confuses us through his teachings, his miracles, his grace, even his judgment. And today we begin with 12-year-old Jesus, who's already amazing people at that age. The people in the temple are amazed at his maturity. They can hardly believe that this 12-year-old knows so much and asks such good questions, has such thoughtful answers. Today, I wonder if we're amazed at this Jesus for different reasons. Maybe we're amazed to remember that Jesus was 12 years old at one point. Are there any 12-year-olds here today? Any 12-year-olds? We have one. Could you just wave your hand? So we have two 12-year-olds right next to you. And over here, okay. Now, when you think of Jesus, do you think of Betta or Eleanor, someone that age? I usually don't think of Jesus at that age. Maybe we think of Jesus as a baby or as a grown adult. We forget that Jesus went through those awkward teenage years, that Jesus had questions like us, that Jesus grew like us in his understanding. We don't think about Jesus at that age because the Gospels mostly skip over much of Jesus' life. Mark and John begin their Gospel when Jesus is already 30 years old. Matthew's Gospel jumps from Jesus as a toddler to Jesus as an adult. But Luke gives us this one story when Jesus is 12 years old. And I'm thankful for that because it reminds us that Jesus lived a full human life like us. That Jesus wasn't just a baby and then an adult. That Jesus grew. One of my teachers from seminary volunteered with the middle school youth group at our church. And one night he went to teach about Jesus, about who Jesus really was. And so he asked the students, "Do you have any questions about Jesus?" And you're already laughing. Because the first question a student asked from the back, "Did Jesus have a girlfriend?" And all the kids laughed, of course. But the teacher didn't laugh. He said, "That's a fair question. Maybe. We don't know. The Bible doesn't teach us that. We're not sure." Now, I don't think dating was quite the same when Jesus was a 12-year-old as it is today for teenagers in America. But it's okay to ask that kind of question. It's not wrong or bad. And I think behind the student's question was a much more important question. Does Jesus know anything about what it's like to be me? Can Jesus relate to my life and to my experience? Does he know what it's like to try to make friends or try to fit in? And the Bible, I think, is clear on this. Yes, that Jesus was fully human like us. That Jesus knew what it was to live a human life. And that's good news for us. So the people in the temple are amazed at Jesus, at his wisdom and his maturity. Maybe we're amazed that Jesus was once an awkward teenager like we were. I was very awkward, was shorter than everyone else. But I'm sure you weren't awkward as a teenager. It's okay. But I think Jesus' parents are actually amazed for a different reason. Mary says this, "Son, why have you been treating us like this? Your father and I have been worried about you." We've been looking for you everywhere. When Lydia read the scripture, I could even hear in her voice a little irritation. I think she knew what the story was saying. Mary was not a happy mama. She was not happy with her son Jesus. In the original Greek text, Mary says, "We've been anxiously looking for you." That word anxious in Greek can mean in pain or tormented. A mother today might say, "I've been worried sick about you. Where have you been?" If you're a parent whose child has gone missing, even for 5 minutes, you know that feeling in your stomach, that sick feeling. Can you imagine not knowing for 3 days where your child is? Mary has a good reason to be upset. You've probably heard the fifth commandment before: honor your father and your mother. Now, maybe you're wondering, did Jesus break that commandment by sneaking away and staying in Jerusalem? Mary and Joseph seem to feel dishonored by Jesus. But that question makes us ask a much more important question. And it's the question that Luke wants us to ask. Who is Jesus' father, really? Who is Jesus' father? Jesus says to his parents, "Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" These are the first words of Jesus recorded in the Bible. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" So what is Jesus saying here? What does he mean? Mary and Joseph don't seem to get it. Well, Jesus seems to be saying, yes, Joseph is my earthly father, and I'll honor him and obey him. But my true father, my most important father, is the Lord God. And Jesus is at home in his father's house. Jesus is at home in the temple. Is there anything better than feeling at home, really at home? To be in a place that you know you belong, that you know that you're loved and welcomed, where you don't have to explain yourself or try to please others, where you feel understood, where you're accepted. I think some of us in this room know what it's like to not feel at home for a very long time, to have to say goodbye to the home you know and love, to not feel quite settled in a new place. But Jesus felt at home in the temple. But not everyone felt at home in the temple. You see, the temple in Jerusalem had different courts for different people. The largest area in the temple complex was the court of the Gentiles. So if you weren't Jewish, you could go there, but you couldn't come any closer. But if you were Jewish, you could go into the inner court, and men and women, Jewish men and women, could go there. But if you were a woman, that's as close as you could go. Only Jewish men could go past that next gate to the inner court. And only priests could go into the temple, not just any Jewish man. Because inside the temple was the Holy of Holies, God's holy presence. So the more holy a person was, the closer they could get. And if you weren't considered holy, you had to be a little further away from God's presence. The more holy you were, the more at home you could be in God's house. If you were from a different country, sorry, you can't come any closer to God's holy presence. Or if you were a woman, sorry, you can't come any closer to God's holy presence. Or if you lived with a disability, sorry, you can't come any closer to God's presence. Not everyone was equally at home in God's house, in the temple. But Jesus is at home in his Father's house. because he is the eternal Son of God, who's always been one with the Father. Before Jesus was born, the angel Gabriel said to Mary, "Your son will be called the Son of the Most High God." And now when Jesus is 12, he already seems to understand that he belongs to God in a special way. And in the next chapter in Luke 3, at Jesus' baptism, a voice comes from heaven. It says, "You are my son, and I love you. I am very pleased with you." So Jesus belongs in his Father's house. Jesus is uniquely the Son of God. What about all of us? Do we belong? Does the church feel a bit like that temple where only certain people can be really close? Only certain people can really belong? Jana and I, my wife, have been watching a TV show called This Is Us. Anybody else? Okay, a few hands. Woo! All right. Emotional is what I'll say. I cried in the first episode. I usually don't cry at TV shows. This is one of the families from the TV show. This is Randall up top. Randall, when he was just born, he was adopted by a family. But now he's grown in this part of the show. And this is his wife, Beth. And in the middle, there are two daughters, Tess and Annie. And they're a beautiful family. And Beth and Randall decide that they should become foster parents. So they welcome a foster child into their family, Deja, over here. This is Deja. And at first, Deja feels uneasy in their family. She doesn't feel like she belongs. She feels like she's so different. She stands out. But Beth and Randall, they treat Deja like their own daughter. They love her. She gets her own room and her own bed. And even Tess and Annie invite Deja into all their activities to play with them. But Deja feels uneasy. She doesn't feel at home. But the family is trying to make space for Deja in their home. And that's what Jesus does for each of us. Jesus makes space for us in his Father's home. The letter to the Hebrews declares, Jesus is not ashamed to call us sisters and brothers. Jesus is the unique Son of God. But Jesus is also our true human brother, who is part of our family. He is the true child of God who makes space for us in the Father's house. In John's Gospel, Jesus tells his disciples, "There are many rooms in my Father's house. If this were not true, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you." Jesus is going to the Father's house to make a room for us with our name on it. Because Jesus is at home with God, we can be at home with God too. And Jesus proves this by giving us his very spirit. The Apostle Paul writes this in his letter to the Romans. "You received the Holy Spirit who makes you a child of God. By the Spirit's power, we can call God Abba, Father." We can call God Abba, Father. Jesus' Father is also our Father. That is good news, friends. Now, Tess and Annie, those girls, they have no doubts about who their parents are. They have no doubt that they belong in this family. I wonder if we're more like Deja. We've been brought into God's family. We've been welcomed. We've been told that we're loved and told that we're accepted. But we doubt it. Again and again, we doubt it because we don't feel good enough or pure enough or smart enough. We don't feel like we fit in. We don't feel like we have the right answers. Deja really struggles in the TV show to receive the love that Randall and Beth give her. She really struggles. And that struggle to receive love can last an entire lifetime. On the last Wednesday of every month at Raybrook Retirement Home, just down Burton Street, we have a small service of prayer and communion. And we just had it this past week. And we get together, maybe 10 or 12 of us, and we sing a few hymns, and we share our prayer requests with one another, and then we celebrate the Lord's Supper around a table. And every Wednesday, one of the deacons brings an 87-year-old woman to join us. She goes to her room and pushes her down the hall. And this Wednesday, she pulled up right next to me at the table. And during communion, I took bread and I passed it to her. I said, "This is the body of Christ given for you." And she took it, she passed it on. And I offered her the cup. I said, "This is the blood of Christ poured out for you." And she took it, passed it on. And all these months I've been thinking, oh, wow, what a saint of the faith. She must know so deep down that she belongs, that she is a beloved daughter of God. And then I got an email from her son-in-law. And he thanked me. He said, "Thank you so much for welcoming my mother-in-law and having her join the group." And I was delighted. But then he said something that surprised me. He says, "My mother-in-law grew up in the CRC. She grew up with all the right answers. But lately, she's been asking us about heaven. And she's been asking, am I good enough? Am I good enough?" 87 years growing up in the church, and she's still asking, am I good enough? Will I belong? I never imagined that she would be struggling with those doubts at 87 years old. But we live with a lot of voices in this world telling us we're not good enough. Voices out there, voices in here. And the truth is, really, this 87-year-old woman, she's not good enough. And I'm not good enough. And you're not good enough for heaven. At least on our own, we're not good enough. And when we can embrace that and acknowledge that, there's good news for us. This is the amazing thing about Jesus. Jesus is good enough. Jesus does belong in the Father's house. Jesus asks all the right questions, and Jesus gives all the right answers. In Romans, Paul says, as God's children, we will receive all that he has for us. We will share what Christ receives. So what Jesus has, we can have. Where Jesus belongs, we belong. That's the miracle of the gospel. That's the good news of God's grace. That when we're united to Jesus through faith, we belong with God. We belong with God. And we have a place prepared for us in God's kingdom. We have a room with our name on the door. And we have a chair at the table with our name carved on the back. Maybe your place at that table will be right next to the 87-year-old woman from Raybrook. But until we go home to the Father's house, let's keep reminding each other that we belong, that we are daughters and sons of our Father through Jesus, that we're with Jesus, and that we're loved, so that when we're 87 years old, we won't be wondering, are we good enough? Because we'll know without a doubt that Jesus is good enough, and that we're with Jesus. Amazing grace. How sweet. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.